Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. here, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Good morning. It is Monday morning. I'm going to be here until 5 a.m., and I'm happy to be here. How are you, Sean? Can you hear me? All right. Sean is all right. Esmeralda, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
I can't hear anybody. Well, that's okay. I'll just keep talking. Something's wrong with my earphones, but we'll just keep going. I have in studio Carl and Lisa. You don't have an E at the end of your name.
I do not have an E at the end of my name. Lisa has an A at the end.
Oh, yeah. Lisa has an A. No, but Wolf.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
That's okay. You can give me a hard time.
I thought you could take it.
I can take it. I can totally take it.
I have a movement going on that I'm trying to get people to sign enough documentation to get an E added to her name.
Okay.
Though.
How many signatures do we need?
We have a couple million already.
Yeah.
Couple million.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to make a change. So I'm going to take this real
slow. Really slow. One thing at a time. Can I hear my people? I'm trying to see if I can check in with the Vic Vaughns and the Esmeralda Leans of the world.
We can hear you loud and clear.
But that's okay. We'll keep on trucking. So guys, here's why I asked you. This is why I called a meeting today. No, I love old-timey radio, as I call it.
Yeah.
I love it. My husband loves it.
I like that name, too, timey.
Timey.
Well, it has an E at the end.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
We're bringing it back.
Gotcha.
We're bringing it back. There we go. Now I can hear. Oh, it was a knob. Okay, it was a knob. So anyway, I love old-timey radio, and I love you guys talking about old-timey radio. So my thought was, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get those two in studio, and I'm going to ask them many questions.
Right.
So that's what I like to do. I also like to just find out, how people got together, especially co-hosts. And Lisa Wolf, no E,
I'm smiling. Just thinking about it.
You are?
We do have a whole story about it.
We'll take after the break, hopefully you can stick around for a little while.
Sure.
Till 5 a.m. I'm just kidding. we'll be here till 5 talking about old-timey radio. I think I can hear now. Esmeralda, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yay, thanks.
Hi, Vic.
Hey, Jen.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
We can hear you the whole time.
I know. Well,
here's
the thing. Aubrey pointed out that there's a knob, and the knob, as we say in Chicago, the knob was supposed to be turned, and I did not have it turned, you guys.
It happens.
It happens. Sometimes you just can't turn knobs. Mm. I wanted to say, what about these Olympics? Before we're going to take a break. After the break, we'll get into old-timey radio. But I'm going to ask you, Esmeralda, are you an Olympics watcher?
I usually am. And then this year, I just, whatever's on my Facebook, that's what I follow.
Okay. So you're a Facebook Olympian. Okay.
Right.
And what about Vic Vaughn? Are you an Olympics watcher?
I love the Olympics. Oh. I haven't got to watch them as often as I usually do, but this year. But I do. Yes, I love the Olympics.
Okay. What about you, Lisa?
You know, kind of a little bit like Vic. It's great to watch, although, you know, we're all busy people, and sometimes it's hard to
watch. Lisa, I am not busy.
You're not busy.
No.
You're busy right now.
At this moment, I'm not watching the Olympics.
We were actually watching a little bit during our downtime a little bit earlier, but, you know, we fit it in when we can kind of thing.
For me, what's more fascinating is the debris that is being washed ashore on the Rio shores.
Yeah.
And trying to determine what that is, you know?
That is in itself a radio old-timey mystery.
Right. I'm trying to figure out which one of the debris is going to win the gold.
Ah.
Yeah, so.
It's a weird Olympics. I got to be honest here. It's not it's not the Mary Lou Retton Olympics that I recall. This
right,
is
it's
more
not the Wheaties Olympics.
No, there's something. No. I mean, here's the thing. We what would have happened if we had the Olympics? That's what
we were thinking. I mean, we were really trying to get it here.
We were in the running even.
Mm-hmm.
That the red line would have been a nightmare. But, you know, it always is a nightmare anyway.
Yeah.
So the Olympics run, I just wanted, you know, they eliminated most of Russia. Did you know this?
I thought they eliminated all of Russia.
Well, there's there's 300 Russian athletes that can compete. There's thousands that tried, they banned the whole Paralympics.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's not the athletes' fault that there's problems with our relations with Russia or the other countries' relations with Russia. I think that they should all say, look, these are athletes, they have nothing to do with government. Let them all compete. I do, but there's some other
behind the scenes issues going on here, right?
I don't feel as strongly about that as I do putting an E at the end of Lisa's name,
but it's close.
But I'm gonna voice my opinion.
That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
So I just feel like there are issues going on, and the poor athletes are the ones that suffer.
That's right.
And they've been training their whole lives for this.
It's not right.
This is not right. Mm-mm. This is not right. I was like, these Olympics. I don't have a television. Mm-hmm. And you can't watch the Olympics with no television because on the computer to stream it, you need cable and you need a TV, or you don't need a TV, but I don't have cable. I just have an internet service. So I watch the Olympics through pictures, and they show the grisly things that happen.
Right.
They stream those, but you can't watch the Olympics.
Like if somebody falls off the horse or something like that.
That you'll see.
He broke his leg. Mm-hmm. We got a guy breaking his leg. Also, a cyclist, unfortunately.
Oh, I saw that.
She was the pack leader in the cycling. And
I
she's
saw
from,
that.
She's a Dutch woman, and she fell, and she's in ICU.
So bad.
This is not a joke, these Olympics. People think, it's so nice. These people train their whole lives, and then it's over in a second for them.
You think that's bad when the Russian athletes don't win the gold. When they have to deal with Vladimir later,
it's
that's
really
even
bad.
Worse.
That's the worst.
That's even worse.
I would be scared. Yeah. I would be very scared to deal with that. So mm-hmm. I wanted to ask people, do you feel a sense of pride? I used to. I don't really have that sort of Olympics. When I was a kid, we watched when it was the gymnastics mm-hmm. and the diving and that, and I just sort of petered out.
Well, I think a little bit to do with the fact that there were 2, 5, 7, and 9 back then, and you have 300 channels now. Mm-hmm. So I think back then, the Olympics
it was the thing to watch.
It was the thing to watch. It was destination television back then. Plus, the other shows really kind of almost took a hiatus during the Olympics because they knew they weren't going to be watched. So you didn't get the best television on the other channels. So it almost was a self-fulfilling, prophecy, really. Whereas now you have every Netflix show, everything going on.
People are binge watching Stranger Things.
Exactly.
Have you seen the show Stranger Things?
No.
I have no idea, but it's all over Facebook.
I haven't seen it, but I've been hearing people talking about it as well.
It's hard to compete with 400 channels.
Of course, if you don't have a TV, it's hard to watch.
Well, I could watch it on my laptop. Thing about Nick DiGilio is always like, why don't you guys have a TV? I would never leave the house. There's so much to watch. Mm. There's so I don't pay for these streaming services. So basically what I watch is reruns on YouTube of old Datelines. I'm a true crime lover.
That's not bad.
Which is why I get into a lot of the old-timey radio. And so I watch that. And I'm an actor and I have no TV. So, I have problems. But
we all do.
I was just thinking, I was like, I'm going to ask these two about the Olympics. I'm asking everybody. Sean, are you there? What about you? Are you? You don't watch the Olympics, do you? You're not an Olympics watcher? Oh, I can't hear him. It's okay.
We don't hear him either.
Never mind. So when we come back, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I'm going to get the behind-the-scenes look at what I call the old-timey radio show.
Okay, we know a little bit about that.
You know a little bit about that.
Yes.
So we'll take a break, and when we come back, I'm here, and the actual title is WGN Radio Theater.
Right.
Let's call it what it is. And these two are on two nights in a row. I loved it when it changed from 1 to 2. I was like, woohoo!
We were pretty happy ourselves,
It's a big...
some good news here,
that's
WGN.
Great news.
We're trying to figure out how to go 24/7
full-time
radio.
We've been talking to Todd and Stephanie about
How's
told
it going?
Us to keep talking about
okay,
it.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about it here.
Is what they
and we're,
said.
You know what? If we get enough signatures, it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. And we are back. This is Jen B here on WGN 720 AM. I am filling in for the amazing Nick DiGilio. And I am here with two people that I really wanted to talk to. And so I said, will you stay after your show? Will you stay? And they said yes. And I am here with Lisa Wolf with no E at the end and Carl Amari with a C.
Yeah.
So there
and
we go.
And we can do this at night because we're both vampires.
Great.
And, you know, we can stay here till the sun comes up.
Great. Yeah. Well, then you'll be great. Let's just do that. You can do this show
we're
and then
here
the next
Saturday,
show.
Sunday, Monday. We
great.
Just
as
like
long as
to
it's
live
dark
here.
Out, we can
you
can
do
the
it?
Show.
We're
yeah.
Good. Okay. Okay. So we can keep you for another couple hours.
Yeah.
That'll be great. So why don't you guys tell me, first of all, tell me how your love, each of you, of old-timey radio started. You hit it. Either one.
Do you love old-timey radio, Lisa?
Well, my introduction
she's grown
was,
to love it.
My introduction was through Carl.
Okay.
Of this old-timey radio.
She didn't even
radio.
Know it existed.
No, that's not true. That's incorrect.
Really?
Really?
I won't speak for you then.
No, you go first and then I'll
chime
well,
in.
When I was 12 years old, which was many, many moons ago, I was staying overnight at a friend's house and there was a bunch of us kids. And we were all 12, and we were real rowdy. And my friend's father had some 8-track and cassette tapes
wow.
of old-timey radio shows. I like that.
Old-timey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And do I have to pay a royalty if I say
no.
that? Okay, good. So because you invented that.
I did,
yeah.
definitely.
And so I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due.
Exactly.
So we were rowdy, and then he was like, okay, I'm going to put a scary radio show on.
Mm-hmm.
So he put a show on called Suspense, and it was the title of it was On a Country Road, and Cary Grant was the star. And he and his wife in the episode run out of gas on a lonely road at night, and they are listening to the radio, and an escaped lunatic.
I know this. Have you guys
yeah.
played this?
Yes, we
yeah.
played
I've
it.
Heard it.
Yeah. An escaped woman lunatic armed with a meat cleaver has been chopping up people. And she's right in the neighborhood. You know, she's right where
right.
they are. And so all of a sudden, this woman, you know, runs head first into their car because it's rainy and late. And they don't know if it's the crazy woman or not. And she wants to get in the car. And the wife is like, don't let me. Then I won't let her in the car. And he's like, well, she doesn't have a cleaver. You know, so he lets her in the car, right?
That was good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lets her in the car. And so they're like, you know, all of a sudden, you're as the listener, you don't know if this woman's the crazy woman.
Right.
And the husband doesn't know and the wife doesn't know, but something happens. So I was literally flipped out. I'm still flipped out over
I get,
it.
Like, been, freaked out hearing,
yeah,
hearing about it.
Right. It flipped me out. It's a 12-year-old. My imagination just was like, what is this? Because as you know, classic radio shows feed your imagination.
Oh, it's
they give
brilliant.
You all the tools. They give you the acting and the music and the sound effects and the stories are and they paint all the pictures for you. You don't need the visual because it's all in your theater
yeah, you
of the
were
mind.
Saying theater of the mind earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And your imagination is boundless and it's so powerful and you could create these incredible pictures bigger than a TV screen
yep.
or a movie theater. So people that don't exercise their imagination in this way are really missing out on like a fourth dimension.
Yep.
Right? So as a kid growing up watching television and watching this very small TV screen, this was unbelievable to me. Well, I was ravenous about collecting and learning about these shows. And then as I got older, I decided I was going to make it into a business and license the shows.
So fantastic.
And licensed all. I licensed over 100,000 shows.
How old were you when you started licensing?
Probably 18.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Yeah. And what happened was I was in college, and I had collected these shows, and I was in college, and there was a college radio station, and I was like, hey, could I play these on the radio? And the guy was like, yeah. So I started airing them on the radio, and I got a cease and desist letter. And that's what educated me to the fact that these shows are not just public domain.
Oh, this was before you started licensing them?
Yeah, this
okay.
was before
clearly.
I started.
Okay.
I was about 18
okay.
at the time, maybe 19. And so that's – and then I took it to a lawyer. I was like, oh, I'm going to get sued, you know. And that's when I learned that, okay, you can't just air these shows. Just like you can't take Friends off television and go sell it on a DVD. It's not public domain. It's licensed.
Right.
And these radio shows are copyrighted. So I then started licensing, going to George Burns and Jerry Lewis and Milton Berle and dealing with all of these. In fact, I keep a picture of me and George Burns in my pocket.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's back up. So you dealt directly with like their manager or them? Or
oh,
how,
yeah. Yeah.
How did you find out like where they were and how to do all this?
One kind of led to the other. They all kind of knew each other. But then I started licensing from NBC and CBS, and they had, you know, a plethora of shows. You know, they had thousands, tens of thousands of shows. But I was dealing with Jack Benny had passed away by the time I got into the business, so I never met Jack Benny. But I dealt with his daughter, Joan Benny.
Who had all the rights to
and
everything.
The rights, and then I licensed those, and then I licensed all the Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy shows from the estate, you know, Candace Bergen, and then with Jerry Lewis, I still deal with Jerry Lewis and George Burns.
Oh, that's so cool.
And George Burns used to take me to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club.
Wait a minute. Have you written a book?
Well, I haven't written a book per se, but I've written books about classic radio that go into a lot of the collections I've put out.
All right.
But I've never written a book about...
It's a very unique story for a very young kid to start down that path of sort of excavating old stuff and making it accessible to people. I mean, that's a really important thing.
Yeah, you know, that really helped me because I had spent from age 12 to about 18 or 19 learning and reading every book. And when you love something, you retain it.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew all about these shows and listening to them. So when I was literally talking with George Burns, sitting across the table from him.
Oh, my.
And he would say on this show, I'd go, oh, yeah. And then you had Harry Von Zell on that.
So you knew your stuff.
And he was like, what?
You knew your stuff.
So it impressed him. And so he liked it, and then he introduced me to other people, and they were like, this kid knows all about these shows. And
they probably loved it, too, that mm-hmm. someone remembered of your age was interested.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, after television and then all, it's like, it's a forgotten art. It was. Yeah. It's not so much anymore. I mean, for, you know, I'm 40, and I'm, you know, I love it, and I didn't grow up with, and I always listen, and I think, oh, how old was my mom when this one came out and when that one came out?
Yeah.
So you decided that, when did you decide, like, okay, this is like a career, like, this is going to be one of my things. Did you know at 18?
No, I don't think I knew at 18, but what happened was once I got that cease and desist letter, I was thinking, okay. And then I decided, all right, I'm going to license these shows and see if I could really try to make a career out of it. And that's when John Doremus here in Chicago, John Doremus hired me to do a show. He had a company called Music in the Air, and he was in the Hancock building. And John Doremus gave me an office in the Hancock. I was a young guy. I was like 19 or 20.
Oh my.
And he was like, okay, I'm going to put you on all the airlines. You're going to have a show on United and Eastern and Delta. And so I started producing shows for the airlines with classic radio. And, of course, I had to have the rights. And so then the president of CBS heard me on a flight, and he contacted me and said, you know, listen, I have this show on the radio called the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Remember that
show? Yeah, I remember.
Well, the producer of that show was Hyman Brown, who I then licensed all his shows, not the CBS Mystery Theater, but Inner Sanctum and all the other shows. And he said, look, Hyman Brown's been doing this show on the 5 nights a week on the CBS radio network, 88 O&O, you know, CBS affiliates. And he said, he doesn't want to do it anymore. And we're going to have a hole in the lineup on CBS. We're going to need an hour every night. And radio drama is working. So you have these rights.
Right.
Why don't you produce a show on CBS? So this was 1989. Okay. He contacted me and I met with him and he said, okay, you produce this show, right? So now I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be the host because I was the host on the airlines, right? I'm going to be the host. And this is going to be great. I'm going to be on the CBS
radio
network.
This is going to be a big deal.
Host the show.
Yeah.
So we're literally a month away from we were going to launch January 1, 1990 with a show called When Radio Was. That was the name of the show. And he said, okay, so by the way, he called me up from New York. He said, oh, yeah, and so do you have any idea who you want to host the show? And I said, what? I'm the host.
Yeah.
He said, ha, hearty, har, har. You're not the who the heck are you? You're nobody. You're not the host.
No.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And, that's horrible.
And then I picked myself off the ground, and he said, no, 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 Carl, listen. You're the guy with the rights. You're the guy with the knowledge. You're going to produce it. You're going to write it. You're going to – but we're going to get a name. This is the CBS radio network. He's like, nobody knows who Carl Amari is. That's an hors d'oeuvre on every Italian menu. Nobody.
Well, things have changed since then.
So,
yeah.
So he said, you know, this is what we're going to do. You're going to get a – so he said, do you have any idea? And I said, well, if we're going to – I would like it to be fun with trivia and things. How about Art Fleming? Because I used to watch Jeopardy growing up. I said, what about Art Fleming? He goes, oh, I'm pals with Art Fleming. He'd be great. So he was the original host of When Radio Was.
So you were producing and he was the host.
Yeah. So Art lived in St. Louis. And I used to talk to him every single day, and we'd talk about what we're going to do, and I'd send him the scripts. And when fax machines were invented, I would fax him the scripts.
Right.
And he'd call me sometimes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd answer, and he'd say, are you awake? And he was such a great guy.
Oh.
And we did cruises together with people. We'd invite, because we're on CBS Radio.
Yeah,
network.
It's a big deal.
I mean, we had millions and millions of listeners every day, every single day.
I can't believe this. Yeah. This is have quite
started.
A story.
That's how it all started.
That's why I think a book would be really fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll be your book agent.
Okay.
A lit agent. Not that you need,
I'd love it. I would love to write a book about it.
I think that would be just fantastic.
There'd be like 12 chapters just all about Lisa in there.
The 12 chapters.
So real, you know, just from that point on, I did When Radio Was for many years, producing it. Then I decided to host my own show. And in 2009, I decided to syndicate a show that I would host called Hollywood 360. And I thought it would be fun to have a co-host on there. And I didn't know Lisa. We didn't know each other. And she came out to audition for the Twilight Zone radio drama, which was a series I was producing.
Yes.
Also.
Oh, I remember.
And she came out, and she impressed me. She was really fun to talk with, and she was made me laugh. And she was very talented. And I thought, you know, this girl could be...
She could be my co-host.
She could be my co-host.
Although it didn't start that way.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM. And I am super excited because I have the lovely people from the WGN Radio Theater, which I like to call old-timey radio. And they, you can listen to them. You probably just did if you know what's good for you. On Saturday night, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. and Sunday night, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. I listen when I'm not here and when I am here. So I listened over there in the green room to your show. So we are talking about how you guys got into doing this and this particular show as a team.
Yeah.
And you said that Lisa came in and auditioned for the Twilight Zone Radio Hour, right?
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Twilight Zone Radio Drama.
Radio Drama. Yeah. And
although I like Hour, maybe I'll change the name of it. I like the tiny old thing.
Old-timey like radio. How about old-timey radio hour?
Hour, yeah. Exactly.
I like it.
So did she book the gig or not, but she booked the co-host gig? How did it go?
I think you did book the gig, but the co-host thing was kind of funny. I was at this time, it was just timing is everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just was looking for someone. I knew I wanted a female co-host, and she came in, and you know what? She's female.
Okay.
I could tell
so
by her long hair.
Yeah.
That did it. Although, you know, you never know.
You never know.
You never know, right? Yeah. And so she was just fun to work with on the Twilight Zone. She made me laugh. And then I said to her.
He asked me if I would. He was just starting a radio show.
Okay.
And we talked about it. And he asked me if I'd like to come by and just sort of check it out. Just be there and see if it's, you know, something.
Just sort of observe.
Observe. And that's exactly what he told me to do. He said, when I got there, and I was very excited, a little bit nervous, wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. I got there and he said, you know, sit right over here, and he kind of points to the corner, and don't talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, because I didn't know. I wanted to work her in.
You also don't know if you're going to get someone that's just going to be like, and anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
or just, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I just was like, you know, I was going to give her little things to do.
So I did not speak that night. I don't think I spoke at all. I was a little too scared to speak.
That, we won an award for that show.
That was the last time I stopped speaking.
Our best show we ever had.
But I didn't become co-host immediately. I started doing segments and then other segments. And we have a lot of segments on that show that are like trivia and you know, that kind of thing. And games and fun, and I would do segment after segment, and the next thing you know, I was doing a lot of segments, and then that sort of turned into a trust thing, and we really do work
She's so smart, and I'm not just saying it. She's just so smart.
That's so nice.
She knows. I mean, she's always prepared.
Yep.
And, you know, it's tough to find people like that.
It really is.
Come in and care and are conscientious.
Yep.
And prepare.
Show up early and prepared and ready to go.
You know what it is? It's a good team because he really, truly is the expert on old-time radio.
Yeah.
And I just bring a different side. I'm not an expert on old-time radio, although I've learned quite a bit since 2009.
Yeah. Well, that's a while.
It's a while. And one of the segments that we used to do was called, not Beat the Host, what was it? Stump the Host.
Stump the Host.
And so I would write trivia questions about old-time radio, and I got this encyclopedia of old-time radio. And I went through it show by show by show by show.
Wait, that exists?
I started reading about it, an encyclopedia of old-time
radio. I want that.
It's like an $80 book from Amazon or something.
I will get it.
Yeah.
It's great.
You know, I might lend you mine for like $40. And so I did learn a lot. And of course, we learn a lot just from talking and from playing these shows and all the interaction. And we've done that show since 2009.
And we still do it.
We still do that show, just not here in Chicago anymore.
Yeah.
But when we had the opportunity to take this show, it's similar, but this has a more local feel, obviously.
Yeah.
And bring it to WGN. That was our dream to come true. No question.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yes. We would talk about what do we want out of this? What is our ultimate goal with the show of old-time radio? And Carl and I would talk about this every weekend. All we want to do is come to WGN.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
true. You're living your dream.
Well, yeah. No, we talk about it.
Jen,
you know, it's like this
kidding.
Is so true. We, you know, I grew up in Chicago listening to WGN.
Me too.
We all did.
Used to be on with Eddie Schwartz all the time.
Oh my gosh!
And Aubrey knows. I've known Aubrey for 30.
My husband
years.
Sings the overnight Eddie Schwartz song.
Right, and so Eddie Schwartz used to invite me on 3-4 times a year. And usually on Halloween and Christmas and things, and I'd bring these classic radio shows, and I would sit across from Eddie, and I would say to myself, someday,
really?
I would just, you know, and I would pray about it. Can I get a radio show on WGN someday?
We are not kidding.
No.
This is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We feel seriously blessed and so lucky.
Yeah.
Every time we walk into the studio.
This is the highlight of my week.
We say we cannot believe we are actually here. We've been here a year and a half now, mm-hmm. and we are just literally kissing the ground every time we walk in here.
You know, and so we were doing this show. It's on a lot of stations. It's on 100 and something radio stations.
Yeah.
This other show that we do. And we always said to ourselves, I would drop everything if WGN would want us to be on the air.
Yeah.
And so we worked it out so that the other show doesn't air in Chicago.
Okay, so it's not competing.
Yeah, so it doesn't air in Chicago. Still airs on all the other stations, but we air here on WGN Saturday and Sunday nights. And it's a very different show. It's local. It's all about WGN. And it's
our baby.
Completely different than the other program. But we still play classic radio.
Wow. So this is your dream has...
Definitely.
Wow.
You said I'm smiling. Now you know why.
Yeah.
Wow. So you really... I mean, that's something. You had a vision and it came true.
We used to, like, I guess it's just positive mental attitude, or, you know, like almost like The Secret.
Yeah,
you know?
I believe in that stuff. People make fun of it, but I do believe, and I was talking to someone else about this, that if you put it out there and if you really believe it, and also the thing people forget is you have to work your butt off.
Well, I was going to add that.
You
it
have to
just come
work.
Doesn't knock down your door.
No, you work, you put it in. And then when the door opens, you walk through.
Well, we worked on that show for a lot of years and to get us to the point where we were ready to be at WGS.
Right.
You can't just come on this station. I mean, this is the biggest station in the country, really, when you think about it.
It is.
It was a work in
progress. But I'll never forget. We used to literally, I mean, this is before we talked to Todd and Stephanie. Okay, this was like a year before that. I used to say to Lisa, I'd call her and say, WGN called me today.
Yeah,
you know,
and then
she'd be like, really? I'd be like, I think we might be going to WGN. I used to play jokes on her.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because we would talk about it and dream about it when we were together.
And he'd say, do you think this could really happen?
And she'd like, say, I'd say, just you got to just pray about it. And you have to just be positive, and hopefully it'll happen, because these classic radio shows, to be able to broadcast them to 40 states at night, because I figured if we ever got on WGN, it would be at night.
Right.
You know, because it just lends itself to theater of the mind.
It is the perfect station.
Yeah.
And the it's funny. I wish you could see. They were actually going to show, they were going to do like a little, Kristen Decker was going to be like, let's show you at home listening to the radio, because I don't have a TV. So WGN is on all the time.
Right.
And when you guys come on, I am like you said, in my covers.
Yep. Yeah.
Because you said
pajamas.
Like they used to be curled up, especially when it's the shadow. Last night was the shadow and it was scary and it was I wish more people that were 40 and younger, and I think they're starting to.
They are.
Because here's the thing, there are a lot of radio plays that they're starting to do more and more on stages.
Yeah.
From this era. Like, you know, you've got your It's a Wonderful Life and stuff, but they're gonna do other, I think, like, people are getting more into the idea of that the sound effects and that there's such an art to radio plays that it's it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. You know, when we talk to, you know, potential advertisers and things like that for the show, for the national show or the local show here on WGN, they say, well, God, must be people 80, 90 years old listening. I say, no, it shatters all. It's complete misconception. Yes, there are people of that age demographic that are listening that remember the shows, but I would say most of our audience never listened to the shows, never grew up listening to the shows. They may have remembered early television, but I mean, you're talking, these radio shows are from the 1937 through 55. So you're talking early 40s. You know, that's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago, and we'll talk. Can you just stay for one more segment?
Yes.
Because I just want to talk about how relevant those stories are today. I was just listening to the story about, I think it was the Whistler, and the husband that was being polygamous, right?
Yeah. He had two wives. He had to kill one of them.
It happens.
Yeah.
Scott Peterson?
Absolutely.
All right. So I am here with the folks from WGN Radio Theater, which I call Old Timey Radio, and we will be back. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D. on WGN 720 AM. All righty. Here we are. This is Jen B. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. I am filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN 720 AM. And I am here with Carl and Lisa from WGN Radio Theater, which you can hear every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I'm calling it Old Timey Radio. And we're here. And I wanted to ask, we were talking about sort of the passion and the drive. And I guess my question for both of you would be, where do you want to take this old-timey radio? I would say you've got kind of a kingdom of old-timey radio. Where would you like it to go?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is the place where I've always wanted to air the shows. And to have Lisa with me every Saturday and Sunday night is amazing. I mean, we're doing podcasts, obviously, with the show, so people can hear it at any time. I mean, you know, not everyone can listen at 11 to 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and Sunday. But Aleph Garris, our producer, she does a podcast
yep.
of it, so you can hear it, Bluetooth it, and listen to it whenever you want. But I would just like to see the audience grow. But you mentioned something that I've always thought about, doing these live stage productions.
Yes.
And I know there's like Roger Badish does some
yes.
of them at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. But I'd like to see them kind of cutting edge being
yep.
done at Steppenwolf
yep.
or somewhere else. Yep. Drury Lane.
I just feel like a lot of the theaters in this city would be perfect to stage these productions mm-hmm. and or a series of them, like to do a bunch of the Shadows or do, you mm-hmm. know, it's the Shadow series. It's
yeah.
the Whistler series.
Right.
Don't you think that would be, and you could get, you were
yeah.
just saying, you know a lot of local talent. You know all
oh,
these people.
Sure.
There's amazing local talent
yeah.
right here in Chicago.
That could,
oh my
do,
gosh.
That could do these radio
well,
plays.
All of the great people that live in Chicago. I mean, everyone here that has a name in this business and, you know, has done my Twilight Zones. You know, I mean, I'm talking about the David Pesquazis and the Christian Stoltes
yep.
and the Kurt Nabigs
yep.
and, you know, and these type of people have done those for years. I mean, Daniel J. Trevante has come and done,
yep.
done them. And, you know, Tim Kazurinsky.
Oh, I like,
you know,
Tim
yeah.
Kazurinsky.
So, I mean, they would all want to do it.
Danny
you know,
Goldring.
Yeah, Danny
Goldring. I mean,
Goldring.
You would have no shortage of talent that
right.
you know personally.
Linda
so
Ryder.
It's just a matter of, like, getting a space. And I'm gonna spearhead
well,
this operation.
Okay. Mercury
we're
Theater,
going to business.
Too.
Yeah,
we
Mercury Theater
Mercury.
Would be great.
It's a great, right there in
perfect
Southport. Is that the
Southport.
One? That's, that would be great. And there's, I mean, there's just so, I saw, you know, I think people do, I was saying, you know, it's a Miracle on 34th Street. It's a, and those are great. And they're, but they're very specific for the holiday, obviously.
Right. Of course, so that's what we did right here at WGN.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Christmas.
I mean, I think that was really good. And I think that if we tap into, listen, I'm like a business manager now. If we could tap into these radio dramas that aren't as well known and people could be like, wait, and then they'd want to see more and listen more.
Well, I think if you did a 2-hour production, right, with a break in the middle, and you did three half-hour shows.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And you had
Jen,
Tim Kazurinsky.
I'm going to get
on
it.
Out.
You have
you
a,
would be in
I'll
it,
be
of
in it.
Course.
A little, we got Gary Sinise coming. We,
yeah. I mean, Gary yeah. did my Bible. Gary played David in my Word of Promise audio Bible. What a great actor.
So people,
great
yes,
guy.
He's phenomenal. So
yeah.
people, the other thing is before we get, we'll get to you, Lisa, about how you see this going and where how, your passion for it, where would you like to see it go? I'm assuming it's along similar lines.
Of course.
But what would it look like to you guys? Would you I mean, my vision for you guys is I would love to see it branch out. Now, you this stuff, can people buy it on your
yeah
okay see that's the other thing I was
going to
ask.
Go to my website.
Okay.
Yeah, we have them on CD and digital downloads.
See, because then right if you did some kind of stage situation, people could then you could sell the things and people
sure.
could get into it and
yeah.
introduce their children. The thing that I like to do too is I have some of those I think my husband bought them for me. I have from 360. Is that where?
Yeah.
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 And I listen in the car. It's mm-hmm. like the perfect thing
mm-hmm.
when you're just bored or when you're stuck in traffic or,
yeah.
you know.
That's when I'm in my car driving here and, you know, it's an hour drive for me. So I listen to our podcast or I listen to a classic radio show. That's what I mean. Just makes the time go by so fast.
It does. It does. And it's also it gets you to think and the emotions, like the theater of the mind, like you guys were saying. And what about you, Lisa? What about where would you like do you do acting on do you do radio acting? I mean, as well?
Well, yeah, that's pretty much how it started with Carl.
Right.
Prior to Carl.
That's okay.
I have a few things going before that. In addition to being an actress, I have a background in advertising.
Oh.
So it's a kind of an interesting combination here where it comes together beautifully, actually, I think. So it gives me a little business school perspective at the same time. I have an acting career. Putting those two together, this has been really the perfect thing for me. Because not only can we do this voiceover and show type thing, but, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes marketing, advertising, social media. It all comes together for the radio show. In moving forward from this, Of course, I've been involved in his Twilight Zones, in his Fangoria radio dramas, in his Mike Hammer audio, and his Bibles as mm-hmm. well. So to me, that's ideal. Of course, I love to do it. There's been a lot of experiences all the way through, and you know, you feel like you learn from each one of them.
I bet. And what about writing new radio plays? Does that happen?
That'd be great. Yeah, I could. I'd love to do that. That'd be great.
I mean, I am. So my experience with this is interesting. So unfortunately, in 2006, my father passed away, and I had insomnia, and I turned on my boyfriend at the time, my husband now, was a WGN hardcore. I'd lived in LA. I came home. I thought I was too cool for AM radio. But my boyfriend was like, you can't sleep. We'll put this on. You'll love it. And I was like, I don't want to listen. And it was the Twilight Zone.
Oh.
And I heard Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the episode.
Wow.
That was my first WGN exposure.
Whoa.
And I was intrigued. And it took, and Nick and I always talk about this. It took my mind off of my problems.
Yeah.
And I think that's why radio is so important, especially, you know, what you guys do is just heightens it. It took me out of myself for like an hour or however long it was. I was able to have like some solace from this really hard time.
Sure.
And I think other people must be in that same boat too, you know?
We say that all the time, especially with so much going on in the world. And, you know, all these other shows are talking about current events and they're talking about the Democratic
television
convention. All sorts of things going on. This is sort of a respite from that. And that's what it's
really
meant
is.
To be.
And you need a break. You need an escape.
It's
sometimes
not,
from life's everyday.
There's no controversy. There's no drama.
Say.
And it's also really smart. It's intelligent. So it's not like you're just mindless, you know, sort of drivel. It's like real stuff and also real storylines. Like what I was saying before, it's like this stuff is relevant. It's basic human emotions that I think obviously transcend time. So the feeling, you know, the scared, feeling afraid, feeling excited, feeling, you know, all that stuff. Those classic dramas and the comedies are really relevant.
Yeah. Years ago, I did a show called Fangoria's Dread Time Stories because you're probably familiar with a horror series called Lights Out.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I wanted to redo Lights Out. And there's several owners of that series, and some of the owners didn't want to do it. So I decided, well, you know what? I'll just change the name. I'll call it Dread Time Stories. And so then I hooked up with Fangoria Magazine.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we created a series called Fangoria's Dread Time Stories, and we hired Malcolm McDowell to host it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so when you talk about writing new stories, I'm not a writer per se, I'm more of a producer.
Mm-hmm.
So we just went out and hired the most amazing writers all over the world that contributed to the series. And I mean, we had people in London, people in Australia. I had a couple of people in LA, you know, some science fiction writers and award-winning horror writers. And they wrote these incredible stories. And we did 17 hours. And I may go back in the studio to do more of those. I'm thinking about it.
I think that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do? We talked a little to Lisa about what do you do when you're not doing old-timey radio?
Well, I have I have two television shows in development at Warner Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, so that takes a lot of time. That's a lot of going back and forth to L.A. But I will never, ever, unless they throw me off the radio here, I will never give up doing this show. Because this is my number one priority and passion.
Well, it was really interesting because I was trying to find your email address because you're not on Facebook.
No,
he's not.
I was like, so I said to Steph, I said, I'm trying to find them. and I said, you know, we were talking and I said, you know, he's kind of a big wig in the movie and television industry. She was like, what? He's so down to earth. I'm like, I know, but he's a bigwig. And so she had no idea. And I was like, oh, yeah. And so she might be calling you and saying, I had no idea you were such a bigwig. But you're saying,
I hope she doesn't do that. His head is plenty big already, Jen.
But anyway, I think that's great. I mean, you have other stuff going, but you're really, I get it that like this radio, this old timey radio is your thing.
This is it. I mean, this is my passion.
Do you guys have kids that are into this? Do they listen or no?
Well, I have three kids. Lisa has four kids.
Whoa.
And your son is an actor, director.
That's true.
Yeah.
He is.
That's amazing.
Yeah, my son also is an actor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do they like that you're into radio? I mean, do they support you? Your families think this is a cool thing?
My kids have all sort of been in my radio dramas, not the classic radio dramas, but the newer ones that I did with Fangoria and Twilight Zone. They were in all of those. Your kids were never in any
you
of
know,
my shows,
no,
right?
No, they were.
But you have been.
Jillian did a little thingy for you once. But, you know, I have to be honest here, Jen. You know, my kids, I leave and they think I do nothing.
What?
You know, that's true. I have this job and the other job and some other things, and I do some other things during the week because, you know, we all have to make a living around
here. Of course.
And they don't really care what I do as long as I'm there for them. Honestly, they're all kind of
wow.
Like, yeah, they're not really that.
You have four.
They're not that excited about it,
they're
right?
They're like, yeah, whatever she does when she
but
goes.
But her oldest is, he really wants to be an actor, director type of. Right? That's what he wants to do.
He went to Northwestern. He just graduated there with a degree in theater. But
that is a big deal.
Yeah, like no
that's
big
like not,
deal.
That's a huge deal.
He's pretty successful that way. So he's been out and about in the world for a year, and he's going back to school, though. So we'll see what happens. But
that's
honestly,
a big deal.
I'm still just the mom.
Ah,
you know what I mean? I don't
you'll probably
think
always be
I'm
the mom.
I'm just mom. So that's okay. It's all right. I'll just be mom.
Oh,
to them.
To them. Well, that's good. To me, you're a radio superstar.
Thank you, Jen. That's sweet. Mom and
that's very sweet.
And your kids, are they probably get it that you've been this is your thing for years and years.
Oh yeah. And they like it. They listen to it. You know, they really do. Even my youngest, who's 13, she likes it. She listens to classic radio and she thinks it's cool, the stories. And my son is an actor. He's done a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, things for McDonald's commercials and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
My oldest daughter is a singer and piano player, and she's in, sort of into it, for in, you know, a little bit.
Wow.
So,
you guys, thank you for coming and being with me. Everybody, listen to their show. It's on Saturday nights from 11 to 2 a.m. and Sunday, 11 to 2 a.m. Old-timey radio, officially the WGN Radio Theater. And I have been talking. This is Jen B. And thank you guys for coming.
Jen B., you're amazing.
Oh, yes,
we feel
you
lucky
are.
To be
anytime
on your show.
Anytime you want to sign.
Thank you.